From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. In 1996, Alan Taylor won his first Pulitzer Prize in history for a book titled William Cooper's Town. And that book also won the 1996 Beveridge Award and the Bancroft Prize in the same year. Well, this week, the news came again to Alan Taylor. His latest book, The Internal Enemy, Slavery and War in Virginia, 1771 to 1832, won the 2014 Pulitzer Prize in History. Professor Taylor is joining us by phone from Charlottesville, Virginia. Welcome to Insight and congratulations, Professor.
Thank you very much.
Could you give me a little window into your life since this announcement on Monday? How have the last 48 hours been?
Well, the Pulitzer announces this to the world, and they don't specially contact anyone who has won a Pulitzer. So whoever wins it just finds out when their email starts exploding with people congratulating them.
Well, that's a little... Go ahead.
And so it was a total surprise. I had no heads up that I was a finalist. I had no expectation that this was going to happen on that particular date. I didn't know when the Pulitzers would be announced. I was just busy preparing for a lecture that I was to give that night in Philadelphia. And so that's how I found out. And it's just been an extraordinary outpouring of emails of congratulations and support from friends from many different stages in my life, and also media requests. So it's been exciting. It's also been quite overwhelming.
Did you know that you were telling such a remarkable story with this book?
Well, I knew it was a remarkable story. I found some extraordinary documents about some very courageous and resourceful people who escaped to freedom in wartime. So I knew it was a great story, but there are a lot of great stories published every year by very talented historians. So there's no way for me to predict how other people will respond to this.
You surprised me when you said you didn't even know you were a finalist, because I guess I never thought about whether there's a short list for Pulitzer Prizes.
There's a short list of three, so when they announce the winners, they also announce who the two runners-up are for each of the categories. So I know who the other two were now, but I, you know, didn't know I was one of the three until the announcement was made on Monday.
Share with me some of the storyline, because as I understand it, this is research that you stumbled upon and then realized it was something nobody had really written about before, at least to the extent that you thought you could.
Right. Well, a dozen years ago, I was doing research in Halifax, Nova Scotia for a different project, and I stumbled upon records there of African-American refugees being settled by the government of Nova Scotia during the years immediately after the end of the War of 1812, so 1815, 16, 17. And this astonished me because I didn't know that there was a surge of African-American refugees there. I didn't know how they came to be in Nova Scotia. I went to check to see if anyone had written a book about this particular topic, and I found that no one had. There were historians who had written about an earlier pulse of black refugees that came from the American Revolution, but that was a generation before these particular refugees of the 18-teens. So I just kind of set it aside as something very interesting in a potential future project. And then in 2010, I had occasion to be a visiting professor at a school in Virginia. And I said, well, I'm going to go and look in the archives there and see what I can find. And I was just blown away by extraordinarily rich documents about these escapes and about the efforts by people in Virginia and in the United States government to try to prevent these escapes. And so I saw an opportunity to write a book about the people who escaped from slavery and the impact they had on American society and American politics.
Though you focus on some of the characters, this is a number of close to 3,000 or more than 3,000 slaves. Is that right?
Probably 5,000 all told from the entire United States, but I focused on Virginia and Maryland, which probably provided on the order of two-thirds of those who escaped from slavery during the War of 1812. And that's because British warships operated for the longest period of time in Chesapeake Bay during the war.
Professor, the words that have been used for your book don't sound typical of a historical documentation. Words like riveting and meticulous. And I think the review in the Washington Post by James Oak describes, it was James Oakes, he described your style as hard not to be dazzled. So you pored over court records and land records and diaries and letters, and it seems that you really tried to bring these people to life so that we could understand something. And what was it you wanted us to know by knowing these people?
Well, what you said is all very kind, and it's certainly been my goal in writing this to make it as accessible as I could to as many potential readers, because I do think it's an important story. I think that the story of American freedom and the story of American slavery are inextricably intertwined. And sometimes I think we're better at knowing the story of American freedom and bracketing off the story of American slavery as something distinct and exceptional, an aberration. And I wanted to tell the story in a way that revealed how it is quite central to the foundation of the American Republic and was an enormous dilemma for Americans of that time, particularly the political leaders of the country.
You're listening to distinguished UC Davis professor Alan Taylor, who won the Pulitzer Prize in History for his book titled The Internal Enemy, Slavery and War in Virginia, 1771 to 1832. How did this experience that you write about change our relationship with Canada?
Well, the War of 1812 in general transformed the American relationship with Canada. Tensions had been very great and had led up to the war. Canada was part of the British Empire. And the United States decided that the way it was going to wage the war was by invading and conquering Canada. And that went pretty badly in the end. But the United States also survived British counterattacks. So what came out of it was a very valuable lesson for people on both sides of the border. One was that it would be very difficult to conquer the other side. And the second was that they didn't need to, that their very different political systems could coexist side by side, and that the other side was not some sort of deadly threat. So it laid the groundwork for a much better relationship in the future. But what it also did was that it helped to initiate in the short term what we've come to call the Underground Railroad, in that escapes by African Americans over long distances, overland, to get to Canada, increased in the wake of the War of 1812. So that's one area in which there's still, from an American perspective, an irritant in the relations, because the great American political leaders in general were trying to be supportive of the southern states.
Well, your book is still up for the Washington Book Award, I believe, and was shortlisted for the National Book Award. And you're in the middle of a life change. You have been at UC Davis since 1994, but you decided this year to shift your career back to Virginia. And what prompted that?
Well, I've had a wonderful career at UC Davis, and I'm very grateful to my colleagues and to the administrators there for the tremendous opportunity I've had to be there for 20 years. But now I have another new opportunity, a very fresh opportunity, to hold a distinguished chair in American history named for Thomas Jefferson at Thomas Jefferson University, the University of Virginia. And I felt that if I was going to make a move in my career, this was the one place where I would find it a very appealing place to go. So I decided to accept that offer, and so now I'm embarked. I will start in August at UVA.
I guess that's a new audience for what I hear is a pretty amazing Thai collection that you have.
Well, I probably have about 100 ties, which are different. Each one represents something historical. So I have one with a couple with George Washington on it, and a John Adams tie, and a few Thomas Jefferson ties, and then ties with Native Americans on it, and all sorts of historical maps. And so I what I tend to do is, for every lecture that I give to one of my courses, I try to match the tie to the theme of the course, of the particular lecture.
I think you'd score high on Rate Thy Teacher.
Well, Rate My Professor also likes professors who tend to be easy graders, and so I'm probably getting
that.
A mixed review there.
Yeah. Well, I did a little bit of research, and I don't know if I was accurate about this, but you winning two Pulitzer Prizes is rare, but it has happened before. I think I saw a man named Paul Horgan, who won in 1955 and 1976. And it looks like someone else, Don Fehrenbacher, edited a piece that won in 1977 and then won in 1979. Regardless, you're with a very small fraternity here, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, and then probably the most notable is also Professor Bernard Balin of Harvard University, who won a couple of times. So he's the most recent person to have won it twice.
Well, does this honor change what you can and might do in the future? You've been down this road before, and I know it's a different book in a different time, but how does this color the horizon for you?
Well, I don't really know. We'll see. I mean, it's certainly the first one was transformative for me in that it opened all sorts of doors. And so it has been turned out to be quite a wonderful experience. I don't know whether having a second one is going to be any kind of significant difference going forward, but maybe.
Well, at least in the lessons learned, there will be a lot of discussion and a lot more attention to what you uncovered and wrote about. Professor Taylor, congratulations. Thanks so much for joining us on Insight.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
And good luck with the shift to the new job and the new life in Virginia. The book, is The Internal Enemy, Slavery and War in Virginia, 1771 to 1832. We have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio.